It's a fantastic holiday season right now. Merry, Merry Christmas. I love the holidays, and I am so glad that you have joined us here today on the Julie Tussey Show. Today, I'm talking with none other than Revolutionary U's Jason Lienarts. Oh my gosh, I love this guy. He is a fitness coach and a trainer. Look him up. He is amazing, and he is here to talk with us today on strategies for the holidays, or holiday strategies to keep your fitness intact, but to also enjoy the holidays. I think you're going to really enjoy this. Please do remember to go subscribe and to leave us a great review. It really helps us as we're trying to reach other people, and let your friends and family know about the Julie Tussey Show. Before we jump in both feet, though, I wanted you to hear a little song from an album that Gary and I, my husband, recorded called Merry Christmas. This is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. You can get the entire CD at cdbaby.com/CD/Julie Tussey 3. Just Google us. You'll find it. Welcome to the Julie Tussey Show.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be
going somewhere, baby.
Pop the glam pain. It's time for the Julie Tussey Show. Live guest, current events, scathing exposés. The original suburban bombshell, the big blonde baby. Giving you the fastest, funniest, most informative 30 minutes of your life. And now, here's Julie Tussey.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on the Julie Tussey Show. I have a fantastic friend with me on the podcast today, and I'm so excited for him to be here. Jason Lienarts of Revolutionary U is here with me. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, Julie, nice to be back.
I love it when we do our The Blonde and the Bald episodes. You know, The Blonde and the Bald could conquer the whole world, I think.
I think so. I think it takes a good balance, and I think you probably shore up my weaknesses, and hopefully it goes both ways. So, yeah.
Well, I definitely have enough hair for both of us.
Yeah, I'm definitely I'm lacking in that department.
How long have you been bald, Jason? I know you shave your head.
Yeah, I do. I started shaving my head in 2006, and it was one of those things where I know if I were to grow my hair back out, I still have plenty of it. It's just where I know that it's thinning at. I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to see that happen. So I did what is generally considered the preemptive strike. Yes. And just decided to get rid of it before it started to get really frustrating.
Well, you rock it. I can't even imagine what it would be like to see you with hair.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. But yeah, now I'm just super shiny.
I like it. It makes you look tough, like strong and tough. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Fits your persona. So what have you been doing at Revolutionary U? You have your own gym there, and I know you're doing a lot of online training, but catch the listeners up a little bit of what you've been doing.
My gosh, since the last time you and I spoke, it's been really busy. This has just been a fantastic year for us in general. We moved to this location really about a year ago. As we're doing this recording, about a year ago today, we moved into our new location, and it's just a lot of room to move. So we definitely have more room for more folks. And last week, myself and my two trainers, we got certified as powerlifting coaches because we have a group of clients who are here who would like to compete in their first powerlifting competition.
Wow.
So it's definitely not the majority, but because it's a little bit more of a specialized skill and you have to learn how to coach the lifts in a little bit different way, we've got one male and probably five females who want to compete in their first competition in probably about a year. So we have a little bit of time to kind of work on those things with them, but it was a really great course, and it was the first event of its kind that we got to host at our facility. So it was really just a great experience.
Oh, that's awesome. I would like to do that. I think when I was younger, I could have done that, but now I have like stupid injuries. Like, you got up and walked to the bathroom. Now you have an injury. Like you get mysterious injuries. Like, I actually tore something in my left shoulder. I know I didn't tell you this. And I could not even lift my arm for about 6 weeks, hardly. I couldn't wash my hair right or anything. And you know I cannot pinpoint how I did that. That's just
really
called, that's called you've been 30 too long. You know, it's just ridiculous. I know. I was a power. I think I invented powerlifting. Because my dad grew up on a farm and he raised us. We would cut trees, Jason. Like, we are so tiny, and we were tiny kids. We didn't actually, like, I grew after I was out of high school. I grew like 2.5 inches and went up a shoe size. So we were like these slow bloomers. So we're these little teeny tiny kids, just skinny, scrawny things. And we would cut trees down and have to, I mean, Dad gave us the chainsaw and we'd have to cut the tree. And then the pieces of wood were so big. I remember just my little arms holding it, and it was halfway up the, I was powerlifting.
So the good news is you've been a strong woman most of your life.
I have.
That's the good news.
Yes. I don't think, and my father and my mom believed, and ended up being a backfire thing for me in my life. But if we were punished, they would make us do exercises. So like in the sixth grade, I might have told you this already, I could do like 250 sit-ups. I was like winning all kinds of awards in the national fitness testing. But yeah, it did help me in that my body is really strong. But it made me hate exercise. So it took a long time to get over that.
It, you know, and it's a shame when things like that happen, where they kind of sour your taste on things that generally, if you do them appropriately, that, you know, you can enjoy them for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. I hate it when that happens, and it took a long time for me to mentally get over that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you were sneaking out having a cigarette with somebody? Here, hold this phone book out for 3 hours.
That's crazy. What we call old school.
Totally old school. I think they're think thinking was, let's make them stronger and it be a punishment at the same time or a discipline. But I do enjoy exercise now. It's like a necessary evil.
Well, that is true. I will agree with you on that point for sure.
So, well, I'm glad you're doing so well. I love chatting with you, and I wanted to talk to you today on the podcast about how we can handle the holiday, you know, the holiday overeating. And so many people are on a fitness journey, or they're trying to lose weight and they're trying to eat healthier. And it does seem like the holidays come along. What's the national average? People gain like 4 to 10 pounds over a 2 month period, and it can totally derail you. And then you make a New Year's resolution, and that lasts for about 2 weeks or 8 days, they say, and then that's over. So I wanted to see if you would brainstorm with us, and maybe you have some other ideas that I've never thought about, of what to do. Number one, I want it to be like a two-part. Number one, how can we navigate, or what can we do to kind of set ourselves up for success to maybe turn some of that away or not gain as much weight? And then second, if that doesn't work, what can we do after the fact? Like, okay, so it's December 26th and I'm 5 to 10 pounds heavier and I feel like crap. What do I do? So I'll let you address those.
Is this the inappropriate time to say just eat all the food? There's a shortage, so just eat all the food.
Yeah. Which I do. You probably believe, though, in moderation. Like, I think if we deny ourselves too much, like, oh, I can't have that, then you're going to have a binge. So I think there's maybe a little truth to what you're saying, just in moderation.
Well, I really tried to kind of layer that in as much sarcasm as I could, but you know, with this time of year, I mean, I think that you're exactly right with the way that a lot of people approach them. This can be really almost a crippling time for a lot of people in terms of the emotional weight and the stress around the holidays. And some of that's good stress because you know you're going to be around family and all that stuff. And some of it's bad stress because, again, you may be around family and exactly. maybe you have family that's no longer with you that, you know, because they weigh heavy on your mind and on your heart that it, you know, makes it stressful in that regard. But there's all the events that come up. And I think the first thing that I would ask anyone and myself included in this is, you know, what can you be realistic about? You know, is it realistic that you can stay on, say, a weight loss path at this time of year? And for some people, they really can. Like, this is actually a time when some people thrive, and that may be because of, say, religious preference in the way that they handle these holidays. And for some people, this is when they kind of need to sort of loosen the reins a little bit and go, you know what, I'm going to not be so hard on myself this time of year because I know that I have 5 different events and my schedule is crazy and it's going to be difficult for me to make it to the gym. So I think all these things have to be considered. It's also something else that people want to look at is for those of us who are in marriages or who are in long-term relationships or with significant others, you do want to make sure that those who are around you, your loved ones, whether it be your children or your spouses, that they know what you're up against. Because this is something where, like a lot of times, and certainly with weight loss, because we don't do it in isolation, what we find is that we need the help of those around us. Like we need that support of the people that we're with to say, hey, listen, I know myself and I know historically this is a terrible time of year for me and weight gain, and I need your help. And these can be terribly sensitive conversations because a lot of times, you know, our loved ones, they do want the best for us, but there's also that part of where sometimes people sabotage, sometimes they do it intentionally, and sometimes they do it unintentionally. And this is something that, like you, you know, we're having this conversation this time of year. I'm doing the same thing on my show with professionals in my industry, because I'm like, I want to know what you're telling your clients, and I want to know how do we navigate this, because it is so problematic year after year. So I guess it's kind of a long answer, but the first thing that I would probably try to address is, how realistic is it that you can continue with your goals? And for some people, they're going to say, you know what, it's not realistic, and I'm not going to keep white knuckling my way through this right now, because now is not the time. And for others, maybe this is the time when it's like, you know what, I've done this enough. I've done this yo-yo roller coaster dieting thing through the last 20 Christmases. And this is the one where I'm like, you know what? the hell with it. This is the one where things change. And I had a group of nutrition coaches on my show sometime back. It was the One by One Nutrition team. And I want to say it was a gentleman by the name of Josh Hillis who had suggested this, but he said, you know, if you can do it at this time of year, you can do it any time of the year, because this is really the time when you really see what people are made of. And I don't say that to shame those who, you know, can't get serious at this time of year. There's just a lot of things to consider. So, you know, long story long, be realistic with yourself about what you can accomplish and then start to set up something of a strategy and game plan.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's something that you hit on in there that I wanted to talk about for a minute. And that is the sabotaging. I don't really think people purposely sabotage most of the time, but me coming from a big Italian family, and I find that even I myself am like this, to feed my family and to feed my children things that they enjoy and love and are good, that to me is a way of loving on them. And so maybe you're getting too much love, you know what I mean? But I think it's something that as a person who's trying to achieve a fitness goal, trying to do something with your life that is healthier, sometimes we have to learn to not hurt the feelings of the person that's showing us the food love. You know what I mean? But like, be prepared, like prepare in your mind. Okay. When mom or grandma wants me to eat, you know, the second serving of this sweet treat and I don't want any more, how am I going to handle that? Like at, you know, at your Christmas dinner and things like that. Do you see that where a lot of people equate food with love? And I think that we have to almost, I know I've had to train myself to realize food is not love. It's an enjoyment. It's a social thing, but it's not love. It's food.
Yeah. There's so much of what you just said that I want to make sure that I circle back to. And this is where I think we really have to appreciate the differences about every individual that's out there, because food does mean different things to all of us. And that depends on what our upbringing was like. So I want to come back to one thing that you said, where you say, you know, this is the way that I show love. And I'm going to throw something out that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. And we can keep it a rhetorical challenge, or if you want to chime in on this, you can. But imagine for a moment that you are an alcoholic and you've been going through recovery for your alcoholism. And you say to your family, guys, listen, I really need your help. I really cannot be around alcohol right now because it is a huge trigger for me. So can we do a dry holiday event? Mm-hmm. And you would need the support of the people around you to be able to do that, because for some people, it is really that difficult to be able to navigate it. They can't smell alcohol. They can't see alcohol without it triggering the need to have it. Now, I'm really kind of going to one extreme for a second, but it's hopefully to illustrate a point that for some people, the trigger is the smell of a certain food. I know clients who they literally cannot control pizza. And not that pizza is what we, you know, keep synonymous with Christmas, but I'm using it as an example of something that I've got clients right now. I can think of certainly two. And if I really get creative, I can think of a few more. They can't be around pizza because they cannot do one slice of it. It is always many, many slices. And so where you kind of navigate this time of year is, what can you control? What can't you? Where do you really need to kind of rally the troops to go, I need your help with this? But then there's the other little thing, like the little caveat, which is, it's just one day. It's one day.
Exactly.
It's one day of food. And you, granted, you could, if you really wanted to, do a lot of caloric damage in one day. But a lot of times people turn the one day into several days of, oh my gosh, we have to eat all the leftovers because they're there and because we spent all that money. And right. It's like, no, you don't. You could take that to a homeless shelter. Like, you could do something beneficial with it that makes you feel like you're giving back to people. So I think there's lots of different ways that you can do that. And Julie, you're a very loving person in general. I am certain that you are both loving enough and creative enough that you can think of other ways to show your family, This is how I show that I love you, and not necessarily with all these foods that might be trigger foods for you, not saying that's what happens. But, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can look at this and still be successful at getting through the holidays.
Exactly. And I think sometimes we just need to take the time to stop and think about these things and think about, like, if I actually have a family member that is so stricken with alcoholism They're clean and have been for many, many years, but they can't go near a drink. They can't go near a drink at all. So I love that the analogy that you made, because if I know someone's coming to my home for dinner and I know that they've lost 50 pounds and it took them forever and they're trying really, really hard, and they let me know that, I'm going to try to accommodate them. There's not going to be their trigger food out. And another thing about trigger foods that I thought of too while you were talking is, if I know that, my grandma is going to make this cream cheese chocolate treat that I just absolutely love and I can't control myself with, and she's not willing to not make that for me, I think it would behoove me to find a way to make my own cream cheese chocolate treat that is lighter and that I know I can have and take that with me. And or another key is to eat before you go to these things. Go ahead and eat so you're not that hungry, because it gives you so much more control. You know what I mean?
There's that. And here's another thing too. Share it with somebody.
Yeah.
Share it with your husband. And if you want to make something kind of cute out of it, and I don't know Gary Tussey very well. But if you say, Gary, why don't you grab a slice of that? And I just want you to give me two bites and then get it away from me. Mm-hmm. And that way Gary is in control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then Gary gets to have the lion's share of that meal. You get to have a couple bites and tell your family member that was delicious, because it was, and you got a little taste and you didn't go overboard with, a whole portion of it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, I think the other thing, I think a lot of it, and we talk about this all the time, Jason, it's all in our head. It's to remember that even for yourself, receiving food from your family members is not love either for you. I think sometimes we're like, oh, they love me, they made this, I feel obligated, or, oh, they love me, here's something that would be a really touchy subject to talk about, but I feel love because they did this for me, and I'm going to eat the food because it feels like love to me. And you have to disconnect that. You have to work on psychologically disconnecting that connection and focusing on being in their presence, sharing stories, giving gifts. You know what I mean? You have to don't you think? Because it, just like what you said, I could say to Gary Tussey, okay, this chocolate cream cheese dessert that is my most favorite here, you get it, you give me two bites. But Jason, fat girl inside, doesn't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Let's be real. How many of us are like, oh, hell no, I want the whole friggin' piece, and then I want another piece. I mean, there's that side of us, when you have a weight loss thing that you're dealing with, there's that side that is like, not that disciplined, or you want to be, you know what I mean? So the only way to change that is to get in your own head and change the way you think about it.
This really, what you just said, it applies in so many aspects of life. I mean, you think about mindset, and it really, it's about everything. And as I've learned more about you over the time that we've worked together and been associated with one another, I think that we all have a certain degree of stubbornness. Mm-hmm. And that stubbornness is really what makes us thrive in certain ways. So I think about you as a musician, and I don't know what your whole trajectory was as a musician, but I would imagine that you went through a lot of difficult times as a musician, whether that be something that you did while you were recording or something that you did while you were touring, and it required a certain amount of stubbornness mm-hmm. for you to dig in your heels and go, absolutely not, we're going to do it this way, and we're going to get it done the way that I want it done. Yes. Because I think we all have that kind of fire in us that says, this is the way I'm going to go. So where that stubbornness can be both a blessing and a curse is sometimes those individuals who are trying to lose weight, and let's just, we're going to kind of come back to your example, someone who has struggled with this for a long time, that stubbornness tends to flesh itself out with that person kind of stamping their foot and going, but I want it. I want that food, and I should have that food because I'm a grown adult and I can make decisions for myself, and I can make decisions for myself because I'm wearing my big girl pants.
Yes.
And if you flip it, you can still have that stubbornness serve you in a better way.
Yes.
So that same stubborn person is going, you know what? My goals are so important to me that I'm now going to use my stubbornness as my guide to say, no, and that no is going to feel good. It's not going to feel like punishment. It's going to be, this is me, my stubborn me, taking control of my goals. And so I think it's the same, what can be a very positive characteristic, just used in a slightly different way.
Yeah, exactly. It's that tenacity in you. And so you have to wrestle. It's like the good and the evil. Now, I'm more the type of person, I've done this for so many years, I'm more the type of person that I try to just go ahead and eat what I want on the day in moderation. And I try not to turn it into a Christmas week or a Christmas month or a Christmas year. You know what I mean?
Right.
I try to
right.
just, because really in my mind, I think, okay, I typically eat, you know, X amount, 1,200 to 1,500 calories a day. So I eat 3,000 on one day. Can I actually gain weight from one day? Not really. Not really.
Not true weight. The scale will say differently. The scale will show the uptick.
Yes.
And that's okay, which is why I would even say this. I say it around Thanksgiving. I say it around Christmas. You probably don't want to weigh in for a few days after those events, because
exactly.
if you're the kind of person who gets really psyched out by that number, not the best time to look. It's kind of like looking at your credit card statement right after you've gone Christmas shopping. It can kind of give you a bit of a scare.
Exactly.
So it's kind of a similar thing, but you know, it comes back to, it's one day. And as long as you have a strategy for what's going to happen after that one day, you may be able to come out of the holidays with a little bit of sanity. And, you know, a lot of people, they want January 1st to really come around so that January 2nd, they can, you know, just as you mentioned, they can go for that big 8-day burst of, this is the year that's going to be my year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be real honest with you. I have serviced hundreds of people with this business, and I have yet to find a single person who's made that resolution stick. The people who make it stick are the people who start up on, I'm just going to throw a number out there or a date out there, on September 17th.
Mm.
That's the person who wins, or the person who starts up on February 12th. That's the person who wins, because they're like, you know what? I'm not going to have this date dictate my success.
Exactly. And we do, I do on the first of the year, I always do a resolution solution. In other words, a solution to not ever make that resolution again. And that is, learn to create a lifestyle instead of having to make I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. You know what I mean? Learn to just live it, which is what we're kind of talking about now. And you said a word I wanted to go back to through that was, if you have a strategy. And I guess that's the thing. If you're in the position that I'm in, where you're constantly working on things, and I've actually tried to make it a lifestyle, and I went on maintenance through the holidays last year, and I never was able to get off of them through a series of life events, lots of different things happening in my life. So I never actually went back to weight loss. So I've been in maintenance for a year, and I've gone up and down like 4 or 5 pounds. That's it. And, it's become a lifestyle. So I really think that is key in this position that I have, that I stop and think and have a strategy. So that was really good. And I think that's what we've been sharing to this point. So now, Jason, it rolls around. It's the day after Christmas. I'm still have all these Christmas treats from friends and family dropping them off. I feel bloated. I feel disgusted and busted. And I feel like a failure. What do I do now?
People don't actually go through this, do they? Did you just make this up? I think you just got creative on me and just made up a little story.
I'm one in a million. One in a million.
No, you know, it's try to make it a guilt-free holiday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're going to eat the food, eat the food. And then once it's done, go, you know what? It's done. What's done is done. And what do we always say? It is what it is. So don't try to rewrite the chapter. Just start writing the next part to the chapter.
Exactly.
Write the next chapter and try to figure out, start with the low hanging fruit. The low hanging fruit is, okay, I'm going to eat a sensible breakfast on my next day. Or maybe you're the type of person who skips breakfast for whatever reason. And I'm going to drink a lot of water because I need to just kind of flush that bloating feeling away.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of look at your next day. Maybe you're someone who does really well with just kind of meal planning. And the same way that you would meal plan when it's not the holidays is probably a good time to meal plan, even though it is the holidays. And you can, if you've got those leftovers, you can still be strategic about the way that you eat them. Or that's the time to, again, go somewhere and say, you know what, I can't have all these foods in the house because these are these hyper palatable, super easy to eat foods that I can't moderate very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go take them to a homeless shelter. I'm going to go do something good for others and really just try to, you know, make it work in another way that you know that you're doing something right for somebody else because you had your time of fun. And now it's time to, you know, put the big girl pants back on, or big boy pants for those fellas who are listening to the show, and get ready.
Yes, and true confessions. I have to tell you the truth, Jason. People have brought things that are like my Achilles heel, and I'll eat them for a couple of days, and I literally, and my family can't understand this because they would eat it. I will literally like flush them down the toilet or put them in the garbage.
Yes, yes.
Because I don't want to lose control of all that I've worked for.
And I will tell you that I am exactly the same, and I'll tell you how. I have a client who, and this kills me that she does this, and I love this woman dearly, but I have a client, she has trained with me for almost 6 years, and she is not really the kind of person who eats cookies, but she makes this assortment of holiday cookies that she will probably bring me about 2 weeks out from Christmas, and I will destroy that thing.
Oh my gosh,
like you can't even imagine. But it's one of those things where every time I know that she, and I know, like, because literally for 6 years, this is the way it's gone. She'll bring this to me and I'll go, I'm not going to have very many of them. And I will be damned if I don't sit there and pick and pick and pick at those cookies until finally I just have to throw the damn thing away. Because I know that I sit there and here's the way the story goes. And this is where I am no different than a lot of other people. I will look at those cookies and go, I'll work out harder tomorrow because I'm eating this cookie.
Exactly.
And I'll think about it. I'll kind of like justify the behavior and I'll go, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do anything different than what I've done before. I'm going to eat the cookies and I'm probably going to feel like hell because I ate the cookies because that's not part of my normal diet.
Yeah.
And then I'll finally just have to get kind of sick of my own BS and just finally throw the cookies away.
Yep.
Because I'm just like, I just can't. It's just like what you're mentioning. There are certain things that I have zero control over, and cookies are my thing.
Exactly. And it's so smart, and you shouldn't feel guilty. And I mean, to me, flush them. It's where they're going anyway. It's just a better route. Let's do this the fast way.
I might steal that line from you. That was really good.
You're welcome too. I just want royalties.
Sorry, that is a Julie Tussey trademark line. I affectionately stole it for our conversation.
Yeah, and it's so lofty. Lofty. It's what I want to be known for. Well, it's been really good to talk to you, Jason. You are the official fitness coach for the Julie Tussey Show, and we love you so much. I appreciate that anytime I need to chat, I know you make yourself available to me, and I appreciate that so much. And I want to thank you so much for helping the Julie Tussey Show to be what it has become, and that is something that's affecting the lives of people. We're actually making great people greater on our show too.
So you got to take my life. No, it's I mean, you know how I feel about you. I'm crazy about you, and I'm very, very thankful always to spend the time with you on the show, and hopefully we help others out. But it's always a pleasure, and it's always a great conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Jason. There's probably someone listening, and they may not call during the holidays, but they may be interested in what you do, what you offer. So give us a little bit of information about your online training, your gym, things like that, and how people can reach you.
Yeah, so I can be found, information about me, there's a couple places to check. So there is jasonleanarts.com, and that's LEENAARTS. You can look at the business website, which is RevFit Therapy, so RevFitTherapy.com. I'm always happy to connect with your listeners on Facebook, so if they want to search me out on Facebook, they're more than welcome to kind of see what kind of mischief we're cooking up over here. But I do both face-to-face and online training. And it's just, you know, business is rocking, and I'm always happy to help other people out.
Wow, that's amazing, too. And if you're listening today, look Jason up on your podcast apps there. It's Revolutionary You. Life-changing stuff, Jason. I'm really, really so proud of you. When I listen every week, and when I listen, there's always something in there that I take away that helps me on my journey to fitness and health.
Thank you. That means a lot. That's I have people like you in mind when I craft every episode, and we definitely try to touch on some things that I think a lot of podcasts, they don't want to venture there. And tipping my hat to some episodes that are soon to come out. So it's been a joy to do it.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, here's the blonde and the bald telling you, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest. And Jason, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Julie.
This is Julie Tussey telling you, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest.
Hi, this is Marilyn. I'd love for you to go and subscribe to the Julie Tussey Show Fabulous Cooking on youtube.com/C/TME TV.
Tussey Homes Incorporated would like to thank you for listening to the Julie Tussey Show. If you're looking for a beautiful original design home in the Richmond, Kentucky area, please reach out to them at facebook.com/Tussey Construction. Tussey Homes, welcome home.
I'm Julie Tussey, teaching you how to pull yourself up by your thigh-high bootstraps. After a week of hearing hundreds of I can'ts, I'm here today to tell you, you can. Find us on social media at facebook.com/TheJulieTusseyShow and Instagram, The Julie Tussey Show, home of the original Suburban Bombshell. Want to feel amazing, strong, and healthy any time of the day or night? Go to Get Fit in Richmond, Kentucky. Open 24 hours a day with memberships as low as $14.99 a month. Fitness on your schedule. Get Fit.
I know you're the man I want to meet. Everything about you calls my name.
If life is my oyster, darling, pass the hot sauce.